Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been in the situation where you were face to face with somebody and you didn't share a common language, but a message needed to be transmitted. I found myself in this situation a few times during my travels. Probably the first time it happened was when I was still a young man and I was traveling through Europe. And I desperately needed to find a bathroom, and I was in Italy. I didn't know the first thing about Italian. I spoke English, I spoke French, and I spoke gesturese. Maybe you speak that one as well. And I needed to somehow get my point across to this person that I was looking for the bathroom. I'm not sure what you would do, but through a few gestures that I won't repeat here, I was able to make clear to him what I was looking for, and he was able to help me. It's an awkward thing. To have a message that you want to convey to somebody, but you don't really know how to bring it across. And some things are more difficult to communicate than where is the bathroom. Today we have some things that can help us sometimes, and maybe some people think that translation is actually an easy thing. After all, we have something called Google Translate. Now, I'm not sure if any of you have ever tried to use Google Translate to understand maybe a foreign language website or something like that. But it's not always the best option for us to use if we really want to understand with clear terms what the message is of the site that we want to translate. I'll tell you a brief story to illustrate. Now, I know Google Translate has come a long way, but there are still problems with it. This story has to do with somebody who is trying to communicate with colleagues in Russia, and he was trying to draft a correspondence using Google Translate. And one of the things he said in his correspondence was, he was trying to tell them he can't come. And he was saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he got a response that he was kind of surprised by. When they read his translation from Google Translate of the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, it came across as, the vodka is strong, but the meat is rotten. And he was kind of surprised that Google Translate would take, but you can kind of understand word for word for word for word how maybe you could kind of get that from Google Translate. But even the best translators doing their best work sometimes are prone to make mistakes that lead to miscommunications. Another brief story from Papua New Guinea. There was a Bible translation project in Papua New Guinea where they were translating Revelation, the letters to the churches, and you probably know the verse where Jesus is standing at the door and knocking at one of the churches. And this is an easy picture to understand. All of the terms are readily identifiable in the target language, and so they translated it as faithfully as they could. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when they were testing it, they wanted to see if people understood the meaning of this gesture. So they said, what does Jesus want to do? Of course, we know that he wants to come in. But in their culture, a thief will give fair warning by rapping at the door, which is a way of saying, clear out, I'm coming in. And they thought that Jesus was coming to rob the church. So they had to ask, okay, so then how does somebody indicate to another person that is outside their view but inside their house that they want to come in for a visit? Well, they stand at the door and clear their throat. So guess what their translation says now? Behold, I stand at the door and clear my throat. Why all this talk about translation? Well, one, I'm a Bible translator, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the fun things we get to do. But even more importantly than that is that our God has a message for you. But how are we going to understand it? You might be thinking, well, wait a minute. God is the one who confused all of the languages at Babel. He's the one who knows all of the nouns and verbs and morphology and whatnot of all these different languages. He should be able to just speak to us directly. But let's abstract things a little bit, and let's talk about language in a spiritual sense. Before humanity fell into sin, they were at peace with God, and there was no concern between God and his creation, the crown of his creation. But ever since we fell into sin, we've spoken a different spiritual language. A language that perhaps makes us doubt what God's attitude would be towards us. A language that makes us concerned about what he would do with us if we were face to face with him. And God has a message that he has always wanted to bring across to his fallen creation. But how is it going to understand this message? The scriptures teach that God speaks all the time. A matter of fact, one of the more famous verses or passages about God speaking is in Psalm chapter 19, where we hear about God speaking through creation. I'll read the first three and a half verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God speaks through creation. But what does his creation give us as a message? It might give you the same message as perhaps a wonderfully built skyrise, or a beautiful work of art, or even the pyramids might give you, where you don't know anything about the character or the attitude of the architect or the builder. You simply know that the architect or builder is gifted and great and intelligent and brilliant. When we look at the skies above, when we watch ants work in a mound, when we consider all of the wonderful things that God has built into this world that we share together, you can understand that there is a wonderful God who has made it, who is brilliant, who is mighty, who is majestic, but we don't really know what's in his heart. We simply know that he's great. God has a message for us, but how are we going to understand it? One of the things you might do if you have a message for someone, and if there is somebody who shares a language with you and with them, is you would use an interpreter. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to us through the prophets. And God used prophets throughout the history of his Old Testament covenant people to convey messages. And they were wonderfully diverse in their way of bringing that message across. Some of them just spoke plainly. Some wrote songs and poetry that would inspire our imaginations and sometimes cut us straight to the heart. Others, like Nathan, told stories to bring God's messages across. And if you were unfortunate, like Ezekiel or Hosea, you actually had to act out the messages so that other people could understand them. And we have this entire corpus of prophetic messaging in the Old Testament that does communicate to us, doesn't it? All of these men in the Old Testament, they understood things that God wanted to bring to our attention to have us understand about what God wanted for us, his desires for us, his longings for us, his hopes and plans for us. And we do understand it, especially when we take time to study it and analyze the messages that are being brought across. But there's still something missing, isn't there? I'm not sure if you've ever had the experience of a friend of yours or somebody from your family going on a wonderful island vacation somewhere hot and tropical, and they come back with their videos and their photos and their outfits and so on, and they show you all of the things that they brought back with them, and you share a little bit in their vacation, but you weren't there. Or maybe if you have a loved one and you're separated from that loved one, if the loved one wanted to convey a message to you and they sent a messenger to say, this is what your beloved says to you. It has impact, but it's still lacking some kind of punch. God has a message for us, and he wants us to understand it in the clearest possible way. But how are we going to understand it? And this is where our gospel reading comes in. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. I'll read them one more time for us, just to bring them to the fore of our minds. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 14 verses later, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love this passage because I'm a translator, and oftentimes people get into debates about what's the best translation. Maybe you have an opinion on that. Some people love the ESV or the RSV, or the King James even is still very, very popular. And others criticize it, saying, oh, it's too wooden, it's hard to understand. And they like things like the New Living Translation, or maybe even you're a message person. I'm not sure if any of you are as fringy as that. But all of these translations that humans have produced, they're they're compromising one aspect of what a real good translation is trying to bring across. I want to tell you the four things that as translators we're always aiming for when we're translating the Bible. We want it to be clear. We want the message to come across clearly. We want the phrases and the language to be very natural. We want it to be very faithful to the source text. And we want it to be written in a way that people will actually accept it. It has to be natural, clear, faithful, and acceptable. And every translation that man has ever produced of God's word has had to compromise some of these in a little way. It's like they're competing values, and you never get it 100% optimal, save one translation. And that is God's translation of his own word into human flesh that dwelt among us. Just think about this for a second. God in heaven, since time began, has had a message resonating in his heart that he wants us to understand in the clearest way, faithfully, naturally, and in a way that has impact among us. And he translated that message that resonates in his heart into a person, into his own son in human flesh, Jesus Christ. And when you think about what you know from his life, how he came, how he lived, what he taught, how he suffered, why he suffered, the price he paid, the death he died, his victory, his ascension, and even what he's doing right now, preparing a place for you in heaven. All these things that we know from what his life led teaches us and tells us. What are the messages that come across in the clearest possible way, with utmost faithfulness, in the most natural of terms? What is it that comes across to us? It is that God loves you. He's not waiting for you to find your way to get to him, but he comes all the way down to each one of you. And he scoops up all of your sins, and he takes them to the cross. He pays the price in full, and he has blasted a hole in the back of death wide open so that when you follow him into death, you follow him right through into eternal life. And he's preparing a wonderful inheritance for you, a wonderful place for you in his kingdom, which you'll be able to be a part of on the last day. This is the message that Jesus' life lived in this world conveys to us in the clearest possible way. And pardon me, but this is the message, the one message in this world that we want every single nation, tribe, people, and language, to understand also in the clearest possible way. And that's why people like me and my family, we travel to other parts of the world to learn other languages and to do our best to bring that same message to people in the clearest ways possible so they can also understand this Savior who loves them and who has done everything for the sake of them being part of his kingdom. So I want to just pray a blessing for you today. I pray that God would bless you richly as you read the life of Jesus in the languages that you know best. Probably for most of you, English, but I hope that those who don't speak English as a heart language, you have a mother tongue scripture that has that impact in your life as you read it. And that as you also are impacted by reading God's word in your own language, that you'd be a part of translating that word for other people, either in telling them, witnessing to them about the hope that you have in the Savior, or partnering with missions like Lutheran Bible Translators to bring God's word to other people who don't yet have it. May God do this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds and lives in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.